listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 83 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by SV Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland alongside Nate Olson, and it is week 9. Got some conference championships basically already on the line this week. Last week had a couple that I used a lot in the publications this week, or have a lot throughout that you'll see that as we release on scorebooklive.com, that I use the term all but one because there's multiple and various classifications that pretty much at least want to share, if anything, and at least the top seed out of their respective conferences. But still plenty to decide as the postseason is right around the corner. We are in week 9, so just 2 weeks left. And Nate, this is really these final 2 weeks of the season, really highlighted by the week 10 matchup by Bryant and Conway, which we will really, really dig into next week. This is the final 2 weeks that you get, again, not just to solidify conference championships, but also playoff seeds. So really these next 2 weeks is really when it begins to get cranked up a lot.
You're right. And this season is, and others too, it seems like the schedule's backloaded where, you know, 8, 9, and 10, there's a lot of big games. Very rarely do we have a game week, you know, one of the rate of the conference season that is a blockbuster. It doesn't seem like somehow, I mean, we're not playing Bryant and Conway the first week of the season of the regular season. It's week 10, the last one. And it seems like it's that way most all the time, somehow. Don't know how that works out, but we've got a couple huge ones this week and some even bigger ones next week. And it's bittersweet because it's been looking forward. I mean, I think the Conway-Bryant game, as soon as it was announced that Buck James was leaving, everybody circled that game. And everybody hoped that both teams would be undefeated in the league. Knock on wood, that's very close to happening. And that will be, I mean, we're not going to be able to hype that game up enough. And we can do it. We've been talking about it periodically on this show probably since we started recording these in August.
So. Yeah, we have at least once mentioned it, I think. And yeah,
at least one. Yeah. At least 1,000 times.
Right. Well, and it's looking like it could get there. You know, Jonesboro, yeah. They host Conway this week. That's a favorable matchup for Conway. And then, of course, Bryant's got North Little Rock, and North Little Rock is not the team they've been of the past few years. So both of those have two favorable matchups. But, of course, yeah. Anything can happen. You never know.
Right. Yeah, you got to play it. And, you know, we probably can talk more about it in the segment, but I think Jonesboro can go toe to toe with them for a little while. I mean, being at home, you know, last year, you remember the Bryant game was 7 points at half. They were close with Bryant again this year at Bryant. This is an improved ball club. It's the last game of the regular season for them, or the last home game. Obviously, Conway is favored and probably rather heavily, but this is not one. I know Bryant can't look past North Little Rock either, but being at home senior night, I think they'll be locked in. And it's important that Conway goes up there. With Buck's tutelage, and he's been in this situation before, he won't let them sleep on him. But this is a game that gives Jonesboro a little bit of an opportunity, I think, to make it a little interesting early. I think they can. And if, you know, Conway walks off the bus and is up 28-0 at the first quarter, that would be something. But that could happen too. But I think Jonesboro is playing pretty good and, you know, can maybe do a few things against them in the first half.
Yeah, no doubt, and we'll talk about the Central here just a little bit more in a second. Of course, we'll go into that a lot more next week, but want to talk about the West here just a second. Been mentioned Bentonville, number 7, 28-21 over Rogers in a top 15 matchup. Rogers actually did score with 16 seconds left, but the Tigers did escape And Nate, I think one of the most important things that's really being overlooked here, I want to first off tip, because look, I've been hard on Bentonville a few different times in the last. Now, I think I've been much easier on him this year. I was a little bit tougher on him last season, but I want to tip my cap to them for the job that they've done this year, especially, look, you know, they did have a good bit returning, so it's expected for them to have another good season again. And they're not going to use this as an excuse, but just a reminder for those that may have forgotten or may not have heard, starting quarterback Carter Nye got knocked out of the Fayetteville game. I believe it was in the third quarter. He did not start. It was actually sophomore Cole Slepecki, I believe is how he pronounces his name. And Cole did a respectable job. I thought he had a good game the other night against Rogers. He was 6 of 11. I'm going off of memory here, all these stats that I'm about to mention. I think these are mostly correct, though. 6 of 11 for 120 yards and two touchdowns. Now, those touchdowns were both to Arkansas commit C.J. Brown. Also, Christian Battles, who I think has been one of the more underrated running backs in Class 7A this year. He eclipsed 100 yards and two scores. And also the defense, of course, you got to talk about them stepping up. You know, they were, after that game last year against Conway, you know, where Coach Grant had really gotten on them and challenged them, they were really good for the rest of the year up until the state championship game. And I think just like Bentonville has had a couple of ups and downs, that's how the defense has been. That's how the offense has been at times. It's just how it has rolled. But nonetheless, the Tigers, with this win over Rogers, when they survived the Mounties, they are in a tie with crosstown rival Bentonville West for the 2 seed in the 7A West. And again, just a tip of the cap, because this team has really been hit with a lot of adversity, but they still have continued to stay in there.
Well, and that's a testament to Jody Grant. It's a testament, the head coach, the tradition there. You know, when you think about what they won, like, was it 15 or 16 conference championships, or 16 or 17? It's been a bunch that they've won, and they're not going to win it this year, but it's only been twice they haven't won it in a 17 or 18 year span. So when you have that kind of tradition, you expect to win. The guys come into the program late in their freshman year and sophomore year expecting to win, seeing that process, the expectations. And they, you know, even though if they, you know, lose a game, the sun's going to come up tomorrow, they're still going to have a chance. The playoff hopes are still good. The opportunity, but everything in front of them is still there except for the conference championship. But so I think they see all that, and they knew they needed to win that game. They did it. I wasn't sure if they could do that. I thought Rogers might win that game, but Rogers kind of reeling a little bit after that close loss to Fayetteville.
Yeah, Rogers, they've hit some slumps for sure, and that was the thing of just, I think that's kind of been their struggle. They've shown that they are a really strong team, just have had some trouble closing out big games is really what it boils down to. You look at this one, Fayetteville, Bentonville West. The Bentonville West one is the one that really got away from them. And shoot, you could even say the same about Fayetteville, Nate. They had really good field position, had a chance to score and turn the ball over. So that's been Rogers' struggle this year, is really trying to get over that hump and win one of those big games like that, especially when you talk about with the top seeds in the classification right now. Some other scores from Friday, mainly just in regards to our Power 25 rankings. Fayetteville, our fifth-ranked team, they handled Springdale no problem, 52-15. You would expect Fayetteville to probably go ahead, and I think they've got Rogers Heritage this week, and then we talked about it last week. I know their last three games are all, you know, pretty favorable matchups, so definitely expect Fayetteville to finish 10-0. Bentonville West blanks Rogers Heritage 53-0. Southside rushes for 500 yards. Nate, well, over 500 yards again. Beats Harbor 77-54, 129 points combined. Now, basketball season did start earlier this week for the smaller classification, the non-football schools. Still a little bit longer before we get the what is, of course, these two schools are in 6A and when what it would be for basketball, but definitely got a little bit of a head start there with that game. I think there was like 12,000 or 1,200 or 1,300 combined yards, just something crazy. Defense optional. And then Little Rock Central, or I'm sorry, Conway put up 35 points in the first quarter, and then blank Central 55-0. And then Bryant, they ran away from Cabot 35-17. Wasn't that 10-7 at halftime, Nate, Bryant and Cabot?
Something like
it
that.
It was really close, and then Bryant ran away with it in the second half, as they've
well, done. It was 21-17 in the fourth quarter. Bryant scores twice in 3 minutes or something to close the game out. They stopped the Cabot on fourth down, then scored a 90-yard run, then stopped them again, scored again. So the defense really kind of fueled that, but there was that big play by James Martin. He had a huge game after not playing the week before. I think he ran for was over 160 yards, a couple touchdowns, and that 90-yarder was huge at the end of the game. So Cabot pushed him into the fourth quarter, and you know, look, again, their second straight year, you know, threatened Bryant, but Bryant's able to pull it out, and now, as we said, one game away from the showdown against their former coach.
And Class 6A, I know we didn't pay much of attention to it last week because there was, again, four of the nine matchups were shutouts, so mostly lopsided contests. You had that for the most part again this week. Now, you've got the really big matchup with Benton and West Memphis, which, look, Benton, they're on another level right now. That's probably, the premier matchup for this week in 6A, but kind of a similar story to what we had last week as far as a lot of lopsided matchups. So we will go through those scores real quick because we've got a good bit to discuss in Class 5A. So Marion 55-21 over Sheridan Ashton Gray with another big game. It's just been on another level that young man has right now. Catholic blinks Jacksonville 44-0. Little Rock Christian 58-3 over Van Buren. Nate, Little Rock Christian has averaged 50 points per over 50 points per game in the past four contests. They've allowed only three in their past three games, 3 points in their last three games, and that was just to Van Buren. The other two were shutouts. I want to say, since they just got throttled by Shiloh Christian, they've only allowed somewhere in the range of like it's like around 40 points or maybe even less than that. So their defense has just been playing on another level. I mean, that game really, I think, woke them up, maybe kind of in the way that game against Shiloh Christian woke the Saints up last year after they got throttled. So maybe between those two schools, whoever just gets beat up real bad by the other, it usually ends up well for the other one. But some other ones from 6A, Pulaski Academy 42-31 over Greenbrier. Benton puts up 50 for the fourth consecutive game, just a crazy streak that the Panthers are on right now. They beat Searcy 50-20. Greenwood puts up 42 in the first half. They smack Russellville 56-20. West Memphis down a quarterback. Keelan Mills went down with an injury in the Marion game, did not play against Greene County Tech. The Blue Devils roll 49-13. And as I said, the one to really keep an eye on this week is Benton at West Memphis as the Panthers travel up to Northeast Arkansas in Class 5A. Say this one, this class is probably one of the ones that we have the most to talk about. The young receivers, of course, with Octavius Rhodes out and TJ Brogdon, they had some young receivers stepped up. The defense forced 6 turnovers, and Hot Springs is 50-14 win over Arkansas High. Pine Bluff, they had everyone back this week from the suspensions. They took down Whitehall, I believe it was. Or who was that they played this week, Nate? Was it Whitehall that
Pine Bluff?
Who was it that they played? I guess I forgot to write this score down.
It wasn't Whitehall.
No, it was Morrilton. It was Morrilton.
I was just going to say Morrilton.
I could see it in my head. I just couldn't remember what it was, but they played Whitehall. I guess it was last week. Yeah, and beat Morrilton 26-7 on Friday night. And then Mills, they got past Robinson. I believe that one was actually, gosh, man, I'm slacking again on writing down scores. That one was 30-21. Okay, I did have that one correct. I thought that I had it written down wrong, but Mills, so they, from the Pine Bluff Mills suspensions, of course, Mills had the bye last week. So Mills had 12 players suspended, including Arkansas commit Charlie Collins, also quarterback Achilles Ringo. I believe it was Robinson had 5 starters out. I know they played at least 3 freshmen, including a quarterback. So they were definitely really banged up, playing a lot of, you know, anytime you're out Quentin Murphy, you don't have that speed on the field, that's also going to hurt. But got to give a really big shout-out to Akel Madison. He's been one of the toppers, maybe arguably the best receiver in the state this year. Well, he takes over for Ringo at quarterback. He connected with Chauncey Haynes early in the fourth quarter for 55 yards for the go-ahead score. Of course, that ended up being – now, Ryan White did return a fumble about a minute or so, minute and a half later, to really seal the deal, and that put the final score at 30-21, so that gave him a little bit of insurance. But big time play there, you know, for Madison and Haynes to step up in the way that they did. And I kind of feel like that's what we've had this year with Mills. It seems like from the beginning of the season when the questions were there, Nate, to what was Achilles Ringo going to do now that he lost all of his receivers? Was he going to still be able to play at a high level? What were these guys coming up going to do? Well, we knew they were going to be pretty good defensively. Had a lot coming back, including Collins and Sane and many others. Now, you did lose Murdoch to Derek Murdoch to Little Rock Southwest. But, I mean, they were just loaded across the board defensively, just had a lot to replace on offense. But they answered those questions quickly. Like I mentioned, Madison and Ringo, they've been one of the best quarterback wide receiver duos in the state. And you really have to hand it to – I gave a big tip of the cap to Bentonville. I'm going to give another one to Mills. They've been mostly in the negative headlines over the past few weeks, just a lot of things being said here and there. But they overcame all of that outside noise, and they picked up a really, really big win away from their home stadium.
Yeah, you know, we've had to discuss that. You know, we've had to. It's the news. It's what's been going on. But they have a lot of athletes there. There are a lot of athletes, and Madison's one of them. You know, a versatile guy. I mean, I feel like, you know, mano a mano, talent for talent, they can stack up a little bit with Parkview. Parkview is talented. They're deep. They show that against Bryant. This is the other team that can maybe square off against them. But, you know, and not to go under the negative, but I think Parkview is much more disciplined. And that is why they are ranked in, you know, in the region, whether number one in our rankings, number one in the region. They run a tight ship there. And they've got not one but two Boldings that are, you know, keeping order there and keeping everybody on task. I think that's kind of the difference. The talent level is very similar, but, you know, the structure at Parkview, and I would call Brad Boulding a player's coach. I think he is. But there are some old school ways there. And then you've got Bobby, the D coordinator, who is definitely old school and probably a little bit more. You know, both those guys are nice guys. They're good guys to talk to off the field. Known them both for a long time. But, you know, Bobby is one of those guys that, you know, he can get a little hot under the collar. And I think the players see that. They know that there's a line there, and he loves them. But you better not make mistakes, and you better not make costly penalties, or you're going to be out of the football game. So that has worked well in their program, and they are the clear-cut favorite to win the whole thing again. I would be very interested to see them, those two teams, play each other just for the simple fact that the talent level would be through the roof.
Well, and also, too, of course, Parkview, being that they're just manhandling everybody in 5A right now and leading the South, but this win over Robinson – that puts Robinson and Mills in a tie for second place, so that keeps them. Of course, Mills meaning with the, because they had the loss to Maumelle, but that loss, of course, or that win that they had over Robinson, that keeps them in the race for the 5A Central. Of course, it's being led by Pine Bluff, but they're tied with Robinson. Another really big one to talk about: Farmington, 29-28 over Shiloh Christian. The Saints led this one, Nate, 28-10 at halftime. And Farmington roared back, scored 19 unanswered in the second half. Defense pitched a shutout, which snaps Shiloh's 40-game win streak, or conference win streak. So 40 straight games the Saints had won, and that is now over. I would like to know the last time that Shiloh was shut out in a half. That's probably my biggest question. Between that and PA getting mercy ruled for the first time in 18 years, that's two of the more crazy things that we've had happen just off the top of my head in the 2023 season. But, Nate, considering who the coach is for Farmington, J.R. Eldredge, I've been very high on him. I know we haven't talked as much about them this year just because they've been so plagued with injuries and playing a lot of youngsters that, hey, look, they're playing a lot of sophomores right now, and they've got a really stacked junior high team. I really do believe that the best years are in front of them, but they believe they've still got plenty to do this year. You know, had a rough start again with the injuries, but you look at that, and I'm not comparing – not 2018 Arkadelphia to this year's Farmington, But 0-5 team, when J.R. Eldridge was at Arkadelphia, started the season 0-5 and then went on a whatever winning streak it was. They beat, I think it was 4 number one seeds in a row.
Yeah.
Wins the state championship. Now, you would remember that more than me. I was actually living in Texas at the time, but I, of course, have researched that a whole lot. And just considering he has that kind of track record, knowing what kind of coach he is, took North Little Rock to the state finals in his 1 year there. I know he's going to continue to keep doing things. I've said that on this podcast multiple times, mostly last year, of course, is when I stated those things. But you look at a guy like Aiden Lester, the quarterback there that stepped up this year, the sophomore, 16 of 23, 243 yards and a touchdown, just to name one. Just an incredible performance, especially to come back from a rally. A lot of teams, Nate, and I know that this was at Farmington's house, so, you know, senior night, a lot of motivation there, but it's at their house. So, yes, again, at home, you're going to play typically a lot better. And I'm not saying that Farmington wouldn't have done this on the road either, but that had to also add some to it, especially knowing that you're at home and you had a whole entire second half. But when you're down to a team like Shiloh Christian, it is not easy to come back from, especially that big of a deficit.
Well, I want to give the team a lot of credit, the players, but man, I think a lot of that was just J.R. Eldridge. He's been behind the eight ball many times, and he comes back. He's got that, never say die, never quit attitude, you know. And I think a lot of coaches have that, but it's a very tangible thing with him. It's almost like a military type, you know, like a drill sergeant type thing, an intensity that he has. I think you go in the dressing room and you kind of forget you're down 18 and you just think about what you've got to do to get back in the game. And Steve Andrews wrote a good story in our notebook that will be out by the time you hear this, that kind of outlines how that comeback came to be. He talked to JR after the game, and they talked about what they discussed at halftime to get back in it. And, you know, it was just him outlining what they need to do and believing that they could do it. And the kids believe they could do it after, you know, he tells them. And I'll never forget one time we did a game of the week down at Arkadelphia. They played Benton, and Benton beat them pretty badly. And that might've been the 18 season, actually. But you know, Ben's a good team. And at that time, two classes bigger, I guess still are. And they were down a lot at halftime, and I went down there. You know, it's standard, as you know, in the buzz games to talk to the losing coach coming out of the dressing room at halftime. And he was down there leading the warm-ups, you know, on the field, getting ready to go. And he was so focused that he wasn't being, you know, hostile toward me, but he was like, couldn't concentrate long enough to see me wanting to talk to him. So I just kind of had to summarize what was going on. And it's that intensity that he has. I mean, that's how, you know, it gets everybody's attention. That's how he coaches. And he's very focused. One of the better coaches I've been around. And, he left North Little Rock to go to Farmington. Farmington did not have a great football tradition at that time. And he has willed them to some success. And this is a signature win for him. I think this is one of his best wins there.
Oh, it's his best. This is his best win at Farmington for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I couldn't remember was if they won a playoff game under him, because that would be I wanted to say they did win a playoff game, which would be huge.
Yeah, they 2021, I think they did. So
winning that, you know, but this probably is even bigger though, just because of what the fact that it's a 40 game winning streak snapped, and it now puts them in position to possibly win or share the conference championship. Yep,
they're in a 3-way tie right now with Alma and Shiloh.
So I guess what they're rooting for is for Shiloh to beat Alma. Then that would mean that those two would tie Shiloh and Farmington, and by virtue of the head-to-head matchup, they would be then the number one seed. Is that correct?
Yes. I think, yeah, I believe that. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't.
Co-champions, but Farmington would be the number one seed.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure you had that right. I was actually in the process of you mentioning that. I was looking back. They actually have not won a playoff. So they lost to Whitehall. They lost to Whitehall 2021. They lost to, I knew they had lost to Valley View last year. I couldn't remember if they beat Whitehall.
Okay, I thought they won one. Well, so then this is clearly cut the number one, the best win in his tenure at Farmington. But getting to the playoffs, very big for them. And they have established now some winning ways there. And if they can get this number one seed and then make a run in the playoffs, that would be very huge because, you know, talking about comebacks, they started off the season, I think, 2-3. But it's just his attitude, the never say die, that military type, survival of the fittest, the drill sergeant type, whatever you want to say. It's just the intensity. It's infectious amongst the kids and why he's one of the best coaches around.
That's right. No question about it. And then also, too, from Class 5A, in the 5A East, we talked about that matchup last week with Nettleton, Southside Batesville, Nettleton beat Southside Batesville in week 7. And then last week, Valley View beat Southside Batesville. And pretty much what was that? I mentioned at the top of the show, there were some conferences that were all but decided. This was pretty much that one. Now, Valley View, they were, at this point last year, they were about to play Nettleton. They beat Nettleton. And then they lost 16-7 in week 10 to Batesville. So they still won. I think it was actually just a share. They got the top seed out of the conference, but I think it was actually just a share of the conference title. Don't quote me on that, but this year they're going for it all. They're trying to get that conference title outright, at least undefeated. Again, I think it was shared last year, but I do know for a fact that they're trying to get to the undefeated mark in the conference. Of course, their only loss this year is to Harding Academy, and that's no shame in losing to the Wildcats. They have just looked like a machine once again this year, and we're going to talk about them here shortly. But definitely want to talk about this one because the Blazers gave Southside its first loss of the season, 31-21, and as I said, in the driver's seat for sole possession of the 5A East. Again, just had to take care of business in the final two games, which it was not able to do last year. It was only able to get one of two of those. So down to Class 4A, Harding Academy, Elkins, Warren, Malvern. Nate, those are the four that we've talked about on this show. That's the four that I usually hear when I hear anybody pretty much on radio, whatever the case may be. Those are pretty much everybody's top four state title contenders, I think, right now, and pretty much have been for the entire season. You got Elkins, got an unreal offense up there in Northwest Arkansas. I think they have a chance to make this was a team I preach a lot. Those that have followed us for a while, whether regardless of the sport, football, basketball, softball, whatever, I'm huge on strength of schedule. And anybody who does rankings is big on strength of schedules. You absolutely have to be. That was my biggest concern with Elkins last year. I said before the season multiple times on record that I think that they're probably going to win all of their conference games, maybe all of their games. I know I said for the 4A1 that they're going to win those by 21-plus points. I mean, I think that they have done that, but pretty much all of them have been lopsided. Don't have a schedule in front of me. But they showed last year with how far they went, and then they took Nashville to the wire. The strength of schedule is not really that big of a deal. They are a really, really good team. It's not a mirage. Warren, I like them just like every single season, unbelievably talented. They concern me with the turnovers. That's the biggest issue with them right now. But, again, when you have all that talent, you have the amount of consistent experience in the postseason, particularly that Bo Hembree has, you've always got a chance anytime that he is leading your program. Harding Academy, as I said a second ago, just as they are every year, as complete of a team as you'll find. Probably the most accurate passer in the state. He's got the highest completion rate of any quarterback in the state over the past couple of years. Found a great running back in Isaac Baker, great receivers, great defense, the whole shebang. You've got a great kicker again this year, a really good kicker again. Maybe not Kyle Ferry status, but again, just all three phases of the game, they're really good. But I think really it's probably a toss-up between a defending state champion and Harding Academy when we talk about those top two teams that look like the actual state title contenders right now. But to me, I don't – it's mind-blowing to me. I don't want to say that Malvern's been getting disrespected necessarily. I think that it's just people have become so accustomed to them putting up crazy numbers and winning. But also, too, Nate, those two losses I feel like are really just being bought too much into and really being overhyped into something that they're just really not. Because, again, these were against higher class. I know that the Walnut Grove School is not having a good season. That's their first year of football, and that might look bad and all this. But their higher classification, just like that Hernando, Mississippi school, I think was three classifications bigger than Malvern was. And, look, I'm sure that J.D. Plumlee is probably completely fine with them falling under the radar. That's what happened last year. They got whooped in week 10 and then went on a playoff run. Not taking anything away from Harding Academy. But it seems like many people have them as the clear-cut favorite. I'm just not sure that's the case right now.
I don't know how you can sleep on them, though. I mean, you've got
– well, again, I don't want to say anybody's sleeping. It's just I continuously hear, whether it's in casual conversation or pretty much on the last week or two on radio, it seems like Harding Academy is like kind of like the overwhelming favorite for the most part right now, like when you really break it down to – actual state title contenders past just maybe your top four.
Well, Harding Academy's had a great year again. Neil Evans, wonderful coach. He probably is a little underrated.
No doubt.
Very good coach. And they, you know, he's continued that tradition. I would, you know, would consider Malvern the favorite, being the defending champion, the fact of how they beat Harding Academy last year. And I know this is different teams, but Malvern has a lot of the same players back and are uber talented. College prospects, Dupree, one of the better running backs we've seen in Arkansas in a long time. You know,
Dylon Carradine, who's good for an interception or two a game, plus 100 receiving yards. I mean, that he's an exceptional two-way player.
Yeah, and Vinny Winters on the line, committed to Conway or UCA, you know, recently. So I have never wavered on that. I know our computer has wavered a little bit on it, but I have not wavered. The computer does not have them highly ranked as I would, but the computer, that's a whole other story, and computers are computers. But I have had them as the choice to win the whole time. I will not go back on that. And I think when the smoke clears in December, they will be the two-time champion. The one thing that I think is interesting, and this hasn't been mentioned a lot, but you had the big three, those two, Harding Academy, Malvern, and then Warren, right? That's the consensus. But then you've got Elkins, who's a little bit on the outside looking in. Now, when the season began, I think there was a divide there between those three and Elkins. That divide has quickly dwindled. I think there is a much smaller difference between that three and them.
Agreed.
I think they belong in that conversation. The thing that's impressed me in recent weeks is their defense, the 38-0 win over Ozark, and the fact that they really limited Ozark. I can't remember the number of total yards, but it was insane. It was hardly any, maybe 40 or something. I get all these stats. It's kind of like you and I are both dealing with so many stats, and it's late at night on Sunday. We've been compiling all this stuff all weekend, but they. I wrote about it in my takeaways column that they really just shut Ozark down. And we expect them to put up tons of points. But when the defense plays that good along with that offense, they're going to be hard to beat. You know, I ran into one of Elkins' junior standout two-way players and his parents over the weekend at a college visit, actually, for my freshman high school age son, that's a whole nother story, but I visited with them and you know, we talked about that, and I said, you play that good at defense, this young man is a defensive back, gonna be hard to beat you because you put your offense is so good. And I said, the other thing is that's in your favor, if you get the number one seed and can get that draw to where you can keep that through the duration of the playoffs. I can't remember what their bracketing is, but coming to Northwest Arkansas in November is no joke. It's hard if you're coming from, let's just say, Warren or another part of the state up there. That's hard to do that. And that's becoming a tough place to play too, Elkins is. So look at those matchups. We'll be talking about those and breaking down the brackets. If they are able to have that home field advantage, that's going to be big for them. But I believe that they have, you know, both sides of the ball, what it takes to get to Little Rock. And I don't know if they had that last year, but everything, I think the whole program's kind of evolved and taken a step, you know, maybe turn the corner to where you can put them in that group and you can say confidently they've got a good shot to get there.
Yeah, no question about it. And also, too, wanted to mention Warren, one of their game with Cross at the – or not Cross. What, who did they play? Gosh, man, I'm really slacking.
Yeah, Monticello. It's past your bedtime.
Dude, I know. You know, I'm, we normally –
old man, but you're the one that – so they played
– it was Monticello. Well, normally we record these. Everybody bear with us. We got two more classifications left. Normally, I'm way on top of it because we do this on a Monday. Because of – other plans and stuff. We're doing this on a Sunday night, so we're on our last leg here, but we're getting close. So and I was also going to add to that normally I kind of have memorized who everybody played, so I'll just put who won in the score. But tonight, definitely not my friend. But Warren, they run away from they run away from Monticello 42-21. Now this one was tied, I believe it was in the third quarter. But that's the thing, Nate. Warren, like I said, turnovers have been an issue for the most part, but they've had to really fight really in about their last four games. I mean, the 4A8's been a lot more challenging than just like basically Warren running right through it. They've been challenged by Dumas, Crossett, DeWitt, and now Monticello. So, you know, I do think that they're going to be just fine. They got a definite chance to make another deep playoff run, but that is definitely some things that have been cause for concern. And also, too, I don't want to go in too much detail on this because I had a great talk with Van Pascal that was featured in our notebook that goes into way more detail. But Heber Springs notches a big win over Stuttgart 29-28. Nate, I think I saw something in the past three games, Heber Springs had been outscored by Stuttgart. Of course, the past three games going into Friday, like 122-12 or something like that in the past three games. And Heber Springs wins their fifth game in a row over the Rice Birds. And again, that's a lot more detail with some great insight from Coach Pascal on that in our notebook this week that you can check out on scorebooklive.com. And then down to Class 3A, Boonville 25-15 over Charleston. They got their redemption after losing twice to the Tigers. They lost to them, of course, in the 3A finals and then in the regular season matchup last year. Both very lopsided matchups. Also some other scores, Walnut Ridge 32-22 over Osceola. Hoxie remains undefeated in a 41-7 win over Manila. Harmony Grove, Ouachita County, defeats Fordyce 29-28. Rising, they get their first win of the season, Nate. Finally breaks the defeated streak in a 35-0 win over Lakeside Lake Village. Jesseville edges Magnet Cove 30-28. Spencer Adams, congratulations to him. He gets his first win as Cedarville takes down Greenland 28-20. And real quick here, again, it's kind of one of those weeks where just, you know, it's not a lot of major headlines other than the Boonville Charleston game. Of course, I know the Harmony Grove and Fordyce, you know, that had big implications on the 3A6. It's looking like that's going to be pretty much Harmony Grove's there in the driver's seat and all but are champions of that. Of course, Hoxie, again, like I said, they remain undefeated. I believe they pretty much, yeah, they are in the driver's seat for the conference? The 3A3 and then Salem. Same position for the 3A2, but that just kind of takes me into my next point. We've mentioned before how Harding Academy and McGee, when they bumped up to 4A, that really made what, because 3A had been one of the deeper conferences or deeper classifications in all of Arkansas high school football for a while. And I still think you've got plenty of quality teams there. But, of course, with those two leaving, that definitely took a big hit because you had Harding Academy winning multiple championships. Of course, McGee going on multiple deep runs. But that begs the question, who are more of the top contenders? You know, Charleston and Boone. We talked about that in our preview, that we really hyped them up again, and I think that both of them continuously living up to the hype throughout, now that they've played their tough non-conference schedules, have gotten into conference play and done a good job. But Prescott definitely up there at the top, as they always are. They are just running through the 3A5 right now. They're undefeated against in-state competition. Then again, you've got Boonville and Charleston, Hoxie and Salem, who are both undefeated. And I'd maybe even throw Walnut Ridge in there. But, Nate, I say all this to say that I think that this classification is still pretty wide open for the most part. I don't know that you quite have the amount of, like, depth for each team that you had maybe just even a few years ago. But then you also throw in teams like Centerpoint that have been kind of an upset. They've had some upsets over the past couple of years in the playoffs that we've seen, some that just kind of come out of the woodwork. So, I'm not really sure what we have right now. We've talked about, like, I kind of have heard various conversations about how Class 6A might just be going to be the most exciting once we get to the playoffs. I feel like this classification possibly has that chance to be that as well.
Yeah, I really like Boonville. Playing, you know, last year weren't playing at full strength in this game, missed some key players, then lost the championship game to Charleston. But I really like them. Goff, you know, I've tried to say this on the post-game show the other night, and I couldn't get a word in there, but, you know, when we were talking about him, but I think Goff is pound for pound. I think he's the best football player in Arkansas. When you're just talking about complete player, the fact that he plays both sides, I mean, he's one of the better running backs in the state. He's one of the better linebackers. I mean, he's just a gamer. He's a guy that you can count on both sides, great conditioning, able to do that. I mean, just, yeah, I know it's hard to compare a guy at the 3A level to somebody at the 7A level, but just pound for pound and class for class. I mean, he not saying he's player of the year or anything like that, but just when you stack up his contributions, his ability and all that, it's hard to beat him. Just because of how valuable he is to their team. I think he's the reason why I have him winning it all, because of him. And if he's that valuable and that good of a player, they've got other players around him, but he's the guy I think that can take them all the way to the title.
I agree with you. No, I think that's a great point about just being a pound for pound player. I think that he could probably go just about anywhere and play. Just, again, whether it's both ways or playing one or the other, I think that you could probably look at just about any team in the state, regardless of classification, and they would love to have him, just not only who he is as a person, but just what he can do in so many different phases of the game at a high level. You look at those small-town guys like him and Dennis Gaines that average over 100 tackles a season, but also put up crazy amounts of rushing yards. I mean, it's just crazy the great shape you have to be in to be that type of player. I mean, even when you are in shape, Nate, that's still that's asking a lot to be on the field that much and doing all that they do.
And those 7A guys don't have to do it. The 6A guys don't. A lot of the 5A guys don't have to. And when you can just play on one side of the football, that's big. The other thing I'll say too is Boonville has had a tremendous run of success, tradition, and great players that have come through there. You know, we can talk to Glenn Parrish about this sometime, but it's, you know, from my little knowledge of everything, what I've gleaned, but he probably is one, if not the best, one of the best players ever come through the program there. And that's saying a lot, because they have had many, many good players that have come through. But the fact that, you know, some Division I programs are looking at him, he's going to one of the better Division II programs in the country right now, Harding, who's ranked in the nation, and could play there maybe immediately. I think you've got to consider him. I think the locals, that's probably some of the discussion at the coffee shops these days is, you know, how far can they go in the playoffs? Can they win a state championship? And is Dax Goff the greatest Bearcat in school history. He's really making a claim for that this year.
Yeah, I want to talk to Glenn about – Glenn and I have been talking a good bit over the past couple of weeks. I need to get with him because I know – I think he put out a tweet something the other day that like 5,000 yards is not out of the – he hit 4,000 a couple of weeks ago, and I think that was the – he was either the fourth or fifth player to do that. So, yeah, he's definitely one of the best players. Yeah, arguably the best Bearcat to ever play, which certainly is saying something at a program like Boonville. But – last but not least, down to Class 2A, some scores from week 8. Bigelow 48-22 over Johnson County Westside. Mineral Springs 52-13 over Mount Ida. Hazen 48-8 over Episcopal. East Poinsett County 54-6 over Mariana Lee. Murfreesboro blanks Foreman 60-0. Carlisle 55-21 over Baptist Prep. And the one that was quite shocking, Nate, Cross County 38-22 over Desark, causing really more chaos in the 2A2, just because, again, Desark was kind of the – they were that team that started off really – of course, they did win the conference championship last year, but they were that team that started off really hot. You know, you got that win over Hazen, which we weren't really sure coming into the year if Hazen was going to lose. We figured they were probably going to go on another undefeated season or at least not lose against 2A competition. But Cross County, you know, they got some big-time – transfers that came in from Wynn, had a lot of youngsters that were playing last year, so they had a lot of hype coming into this year, but did have a little bit of a rough start. Of course, they did start off the season 1-2, but hey, they've won 3 of their last 4, and again with that big one against Desark, and they finish off the season with Mark Tree and Earl. So, you know, Nate, you look at Hazen, Carlisle, of course, Desark's in that mix too, Mineral Springs, Murfreesboro, some of the teams that have really been showing out this year. I think Cross County, you know, again, they had a lot of preseason hype. That could be one the Thunderbirds to look out for here in the back half of the season.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of a dark horse. That's a statement win. I really like Desark and what they've done under Coach Barbary. And that was one of the scores that perplexed me the most when I saw it. I was very shocked by that score. But much credit to Cross County for pulling it off.
Yeah, I think that was maybe the one that I missed on Friday night. You know, I usually, one of the first things I do when I come home, I kind of go back and forth from each post-game show and also start kind of working on the rankings. I usually do maybe about 5, 6, 7 blurbs just to kind of get the weekend started off right and get those off on a good foot. But, and I always try to, too. Now, not all of the scores are always updated by the end of the night. Usually they are by Saturday morning. But I try to go through, especially once we get into conference play, look at conference standings and everything like that. But that was one that I completely overlooked until Saturday morning. I was going through everything. But just talking about the craziness of the 2A2 right now, you got East Poinsett County at the top at 5-0 in conference play, and then Mark Tree and Desark are deadlocked at 4-1, a game back from EPC, and then you've got Cross County and McCrory that are really fighting for that last playoff spot. I mean, McCrory, they did beat, I believe it was Earl on Friday, so Cross County really did themselves a favor because they're still fighting for their playoff lives, but they do have a little bit of breathing room now that they were able to get that big victory over Desark. So before we get out of here, I want to remind you guys of all the content that we've got going for the remainder of football season. Of course, we've got basketball previews. We'll run 2A boys and probably 3A girls this week, I would say. Definitely by the time you listen to this, 2A boys should be out. Of course, we've got the 8-man report, the 8-man football podcast, of course, with Aaron Weatherford and Steve Knox. It's club playoff time for that division. This week it starts, and of course they'll have their game of the week that they'll talk about on the 8-man football podcast this week. We've got our 10 games to watch, and of course you'll have by the time that you'll likely have seen the 10 games to watch as well as the top 25 rankings by the time we release this, but I know for sure that you will have seen the volleyball rankings. We've got 1 week left of volleyball. We've got the state championships this week. Nate, I assume, will Jeff be at the state championships on Saturday?
He will.
Okay, yes, he will. I figured as much, but so we'll have full coverage of that and all the game stories that Jeff Halpern has done a phenomenal job with volleyball this season. We got a new number one this week. Congratulations to the Hackett Lady Hornets with Harbor taking down Fort Smith Southside, which – or I'm sorry, Harbor taking down Fayetteville. And then Southside had lost, so I believe – I can't remember the exact scenario of events, but I do know Hackett is number one in the state. That's pretty crazy, Nate. I think the high – in all of our rankings for all the sports that we do, I want to say that the highest overall that I can think of, we had Melbourne girls at in Class 2A. That 2022 team, I think we had them ranked at third or fourth to end the season, maybe fourth. So top five, but I don't. We've never had a team as low in 3A be number one overall. That's a testament to what Coach Freeman has done. She's built an incredible program there, and they've been to a couple of state. I think it's two or three state championships in a row. I think that they've lost those, but I really think this could be the Lady Hornets' year. They have really just been on a tear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And good job by Jeff keeping up with all that. And, you know, I know, you know, at least one volleyball coach pretty, you know, personally know her well. And, you know, that she's talked to me about just how much she appreciates Jeff and you know, his willingness to put the time in to give those kids, you know, the publicity they wouldn't normally get. And we mentioned a lot of kids' names and mentioned these teams. And that's something. If I look at some of the things that we've done since, you know, I've been involved with the company, starting the volleyball rankings is one of the things I'm proud of. And there's no way it happens without Jeff. It's Jeff's project. It's just my idea and me coming to Jeff and saying, hey, you think you could do some volleyball rankings? And then Jeff, cranking out all these questionnaires to coaches, and we appreciate all the coaches that send those back. I know it's time consuming, but it's about the only way we're going to get that information.
So
we need their help. We get it most of the time, and we appreciate that. Allows us to cover it. But yeah, I'm very proud of that. Very proud of what you've done with softball. We cover it all. And it's not just the football. You know, football is very important. We do a lot with football. I think we cover it as well as anybody else. But when football season's over, we don't just fold up the tents. And I think there's also a tendency, you know, among some of the media to the spring is kind of on cruise control. And that's not the way it is with us. We, you know, baseball and softball, lots and lots of coverage. And you're not going to find that anywhere else.
And also, too, I want to remind you guys, we got each week we've got the athlete of the week, we've got the play of the week in football, and then, of course, we've also got the team of the week, which has kind of been something that we've done new to this year. And so, you know, just send nominations in at @K_Sutherland, ARSUTHERLAND is probably the easiest way to get a hold of me on Twitter. You can always nominate teams from each week. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, cross country is still going on right now. We did – of course, tennis and golf, once all those were going on. Right now, we've actually got a couple of basketball teams that are going to be on the team of the week this week. So that's just another way to really get exposure for your programs, and especially, you know, normally if that's a team on there, it's because they upset somebody. That's how it usually goes. They maybe went undefeated for the week, had an upset or two in there, or just beat a really good team in a really competitive matchup. That's really just to broadcast, you know, the things that your teams have done, you know, whatever sport it may be. So that's what that's all about. Help us continue to get your names out there. But definitely check out all the stuff that we got going on at scorebooklive.com. It is really just something every day pretty much. And as Nate said, it doesn't stop once football season's over. We're going to keep it going throughout the school year. But that will do it for episode 93 of Arkansas Prep Extra. Appreciate you guys joining us. For Nate Olson and all of us here at SB Live, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next week.